Hey, today we have Claudia Richter from Ohm Connect. And Ohm Connect does something what's called demand response. And we're going to get into that a little bit. And Claudia heads up product and customer experience for Ohm Connect. Hi, Claudia. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Of course, we love to have you here. All right, we have a lot to talk about. But before we get into that, we'd like to start with our typical icebreaker. So, Claudia, what's the first thing you remember wanting to be growing up?
Oh, well, that's embarrassing. A princess. A lot of girls want to be a princess. And then by the time I reached high school, I wanted to be the CEO of IBM. I was good at math, and I heard that IBM does a lot of math stuff. So those were the two early ambitions.
Okay. So what do you do now, and how did you get into it?
Yeah. So I'm at Ohm Connect. I head up product management and customer experience there. So what that means is, you know, when you offer digital products, so let's say the digital product is Uber, what head of product does is come up with a product strategy in terms of what features we should be building out next in order to either grow our customer base or deepen our customer relationships or increase revenues. So that's kind of the product side of things. And then on the customer experience side, my team also does direct customer support and manages our forum and reviews and NPS feedback. And so that's a nice closed loop in terms of getting a voice of the customer into our product roadmap. So I've been at Ohm Connect for the past 2 years. And prior to that, I worked in banking and fintech.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. So what drove you to energy from banking?
It was November 2016, and I decided I should do something different. So I had been in banking for a long time, and I wanted to do something different after the 2016 election. The clean energy space was something I'd been interested in for a while. I do have a lot of friends that work in the space in the Bay Area. And so I figured, let's try something different and work for an emission-driven company.
Wow, we need more people like that. That's great. I mean, that's like it's one good thing that came out of the 2016 election.
Right, yeah.
So yeah. 2 years ago, you got into Ohm Connect. Can you explain a little bit about what you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely. As your listeners may or may not know, like when you think about energy in the grid needs to be balanced. So the grid operators, and in California, that's CAISO, they're making sure that the supply is balanced out, or there's enough supply to meet the demand on the grid, right? And as we're transitioning to clean energy and we're getting more solar during the day and more wind at night, that's great. We have to produce less non-clean energy. But for now, we still have this problem where there are times where the demand really peaks. So in California, you may know this as like flex alert days, and we have them on the East Coast as well. In California, that often happens on really hot days where a ton of people are using AC, and it'll particularly happen around the time when people are leaving work and coming home and making dinner. So the offices are still running their AC, as mentioned, in terms of balancing the grid. And so demand response traditionally is about reducing demand on peak days, right? So a handful of days in the summer, can we rely on you to make a significant reduction? Traditionally, utilities do it with commercial and industrial big clients. On the consumer side, the utilities have traditionally not been very successful with these programs. Utilities are challenged with building relationships with customers. A lot of customers interact with their utility by paying their bill online. Maybe it's even automatically deducted from their bank account. So they're not even going online to check their bill.
So as a customer or as a user of Ohm Connect, how does the person participate in this reduction?
Yeah. So basically, we are primarily in California, although we are expanding. What happens is when you sign up with Ohm Connect, you're able to see how much energy your home is using. And we keep track of that. And separately, we keep track of how much demand there is on the grid, right? And the way that you kind of see what's going on the grid is you can see what the energy prices are. So when there's an opportunity to get paid for reduction from the grid, Ohm Connect will let our users know we're going to have no matter. And generally, you can actually see that a day ahead. So the pricing you see on the grid is day ahead. So we will dispatch an Ohm hour to our users saying tomorrow, 6 to 7 p.m., please reduce, right? So we get paid for the difference between the average use of the last 10 days of that user and what they actually use during that Ohm hour. So basically, we get credit for any reduction beyond the average use of our population that we dispatch. So particularly in the summer, if you had AC running and we shut it off for an hour, that's going to be a pretty significant reduction versus what you would have otherwise been using. So it's a combination of automated reductions, although a lot of families do make it sort of a family event and the whole family kind of gets involved to run around the house and turn off the lights and just make sure that they're reducing energy as much as possible. And that's sort of the core of our offering right now.
I see. So as a user, I sign up to this demand response through Ohm Connect, and then I get a message the day before for a period of time, the next day, you call it Ohm Hour. Uh-huh. And then I either install something automatic, like a thermostat, or I, along with my family, do something like go to the mall when it's really hot or something. And then I get paid for that hour. Is that how this works?
Yep.
Wow, interesting. Yep. Mm-hmm. I know you guys on your website share a lot of customer stories of how people are using their Ohm hours. Do you mind sharing some of the things that people are doing as a family event?
Yeah. So there are a lot of families who will use it for family game night. You know, and it's basically a way to disconnect from what's going on. So kids might have otherwise been watching TV or playing games on the game console. And basically kind of oftentimes it's talking about going back to the basics and just playing board games as a family or just reading together, especially when it's sort of later in the evening, sort of the 7 to 8, if it's after dark, people reading with a flashlight. It's not necessarily that the lights are the biggest energy use. There are other drivers in your home that are using more energy than your lights. But it's this notion of we're going to do this together and unplug and do these things. Other things are just people kind of using it as an impromptu date night to get out of the house. We're very much encouraging of community events within that time frame. Yeah.
Wow. So you're actually getting family time or date time. At the same time, you're getting paid for it, right?
Yeah.
So if someone is pretty diligent about it, how much can they expect to be getting paid, or how does that all work?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it does depend on what your base energy use is. So it's a good solution for homes that are fairly energy intensive. And some of the areas that benefit from it most actually in the California area are in Fresno and Bakersfield, where it is really hot there, you know? So we have been shifting our model to increase what the rewards are in the summer and really push for deep reductions. So one of the programs we've had that was very successful last year and that we're planning to run again this summer is called Mega Summer. And basically what we do with Mega Ohm Hours is we shift the program from just beating your forecast. Because if you just beat your forecast, well, that's great that you're not doing harm. You're not quite helping yet. And so we moved to a model where we would prefer for people to do, at this point, the way that the grid can reward us. We prefer to have collective effort and deep reductions. And sort of the mega program gives you these bigger rewards that come out of it. And so what we have seen people, kind of in the hundreds of dollars for the summer based on reductions, depending on the type of home you have. When we talk about, why are we able to pay our users and how much are we able to pay. The benefits that accrue to Ohm Connect users come through a number of different factors. So in the summer, we provide a mega ohm hour. We ask them to do a very deep reduction. The other thing is we pay people based on streaks. So a streak is the number of consecutive ohm hours that you have reduced it. So someone on a streak of 20 will get a 100% increase on their base points. The third amplifier is tierce, and it's basically the more you reduce on average, the higher your tier level is. So we basically provide you an amplifier based on both your historic depth of reduction and consistency of reduction.
How do you see energy savings in the next 5 years play out? Like what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, great question. So I think there's sort of a, you know, wave one when we, I think it's sort of the electrification of everything is this big push, right? Which is super exciting. And we want to, you know, shift our use from natural gas to electricity. So like water heaters, right? So we want everything to be electric. We want those to be efficient. And there's been so much improvements in efficiency when you think about appliances, right? Where it's, you know, kind of Energy Star appliances, and you look at how much electricity these appliances use. And my total utility bill tends to be around $20 a month, including gas, right?
Like, wow.
I use very little, like there's very little for me to squeeze out of. But part of what we need to do in those next steps is to make them smart as well. And it could be the appliance directly, or it could be through it's connected to a smart plug. But it's basically that next wave is being able to say, can I get my overall home usage when the grid is really stressed down to like zero, basically, for, you know, different pockets, right? So I think that's one of the big exciting things as it relates to energy savings and efficiency. You know, the connected home and the homes as suppliers of energy, right? Through a combination of solar and their vehicle. Like, I don't even technically have to have solar on my roof. If I have a EV that is being charged during the day and as the battery is fully loaded and it comes home, and then if I can discharge it and run my home off of it in the evening in the future, like my energy use from a utility perspective may drop down significantly. I could be providing it back to the grid because I don't actually need that much, right? So a model where, hey, I need my car to get me to and from work, but because during the day there's this excess sunshine and it's being, you know, used to load the battery in my car, and then I come home and then either I'm unloading it in order to bring it back to the grid and be a producer, or I'm using it for what I need to do. I think it's sort of this smart orchestration in tangent with everything has been built efficiently. So the usage, you know, my needs have decreased and my access has grown. In San Francisco, we have these Ford Go bikes, which is sort of one of the bike share models. This is the one that has docks associated with it.
Yes.
And yeah, and I think that most of the providers in the space do this as well, where you basically will get credits if you move bikes, right? Mm-hmm. So it's basically when you leave, it'll say like, hey, this one needs to have three bikes removed and this place needs extra bikes. So if this is within your route, we're actually going to pay you, right? So it's sort of like, imagine a world where that is really dynamic, you know, and it's sort of this indication of like, hey, your energy is very valuable to us right now. I know you're heading home, but if you actually go to the grocery store now, you'll get paid for that excess.
Yeah, that'd be something else.
Full, you know, full orchestration, you know, and sort of mm-hmm. that short term. And if it's done, I mean, the key to it is the automation, right? Mm-hmm. It's great. And we love providing that experience for families of, hey, we went and we shut everything down and we made sure that the power was, you know, not being used. But in order for this to be, you know, kind of really available at any time, it does, you know, involve having these things connected and awareness of what that load is at any given time to say, this is how much my home can contribute at this time. The automation piece and sort of the awareness of load is what's going to be meaningful to be able to do this at any time, right? It's sort of the more energy use is automated, the more your home can, you know, offer up at any time. This is how much load I can reduce. So this is how much I have stored, right? I mean, one of the interesting things about energy use, you know, I talked about peak demand because that's the one that most people can wrap their heads around very easily. There's also this market called ancillary services, which is basically like, I need a deep reduction for 15 minutes, right? You know, and it's sort of in the early evening as energy sources ramp up, right? So it's sort of like, hey, when it's a really hot day, there's a general need, but it's the steepness of the demand curve that becomes particularly problematic. So there may be these windows, these pretty brief windows where we need a lot, right? And I kind of equate it to like, if I'm exercising, if I'm running, I'm like, I can do anything for 5 minutes. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's sort of that deep reduction where you say, hey, we need this for 15 minutes, right? So if you're asked like, hey, I'm going to just power everything down for 15 minutes. That's no big deal, right? Anyone can handle that generally, you know, mm-hmm. versus like a 2-hour outage. That's hard, right? That's like the time of use window of 4 hours. That's hard, right? But if mm-hmm. it's like, hey, can we just turn everything off for 15 minutes? You might be like, you can do that at any time. And you just tell me it's happening. And I might opt out at the time if I have some situation where it can't be done right now. But generally, that's fine, you know? So I think it's going to be a really interesting opportunity for orchestration. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, Claudia, one last question, and then I'll let you have your day back. Well, at Ask Dr. Power, we focus on energy savings and cutting bills. So I'm just curious, mm-hmm. Do you have any personal thing that you do that you like to share with us that you think is a good tip or what people call life hack that you do? For example, I learned this one. It's something super simple. Like when boiling water, I used to like fill up the kettle and then I'm like deciding, oh, how should I heat it? When in reality, it matters how much water you heat, not the method. So now I just learned to just, you know, whatever cup I'm going to be using, I use that to pour the water in the kettle and I just heat that much up. So that was a little hack that I learned. It's something super simple and easy to remember. You have anything like that to share with us that you do?
Yeah, I have a couple of hacks. So honestly, one of my most consistent hacks is sweaters.
Is what, you know, I'm sorry?
So sweaters. Right? Oh, okay. So it goes back to actually, you know, it's just basically, you know, do you really have to heat up the house or can you wear a sweater?
Right? Good one.
I just love wearing big wool sweaters. It's kind of nice and cozy. And it used to be actually, so that was sort of the, where I grew up, my mom was either put on a sweater. Like if you're too cold, where's your sweater? Or it would be like, go get some exercise. So, you know, that's one of the things I think about is like, how much do we really need to heat versus, you know, wearing warm clothes or exercising? But more seriously, one of the reasons I have a low base load in addition to having a lot of energy efficient appliances is that I definitely focus on vampire draw. So I have anything that has like a standby light on it tends to be on some form of smart plug. One of the, I think, most cost-effective hacks actually is there are these, I think they're Bluetooth enabled plugs where you actually have a remote at the door, right? Mm-hmm. So I started with that, right? So I basically said, hey, the TV, the computers, like all that stuff, I'm not home during the day. There's no reason for that to be using any energy while I'm not there. And these things are, there's two methods. There's one is the method that you basically shut things off when you leave the house and you turn it back on when you get home. Most of my things are now on TP-Link smart plugs, you know, and part of what I do with Home Connect. But I have that stuff set where I just basically have a general schedule when things are on and then they shut off automatically, right? So it's not just that whether the TV is on, it's basically, is it taking standby energy? And one of the things I like about that, it's also sort of a, hey, it turns off at 10. It's a good reminder. Time to like turn off the TV and head to bed anyways. So sort of putting your appliances that are in standby mode on these schedules has the benefit of there's no reason to be using energy for that in the middle of the night while you're sleeping or while you're not home. And it also has that benefit of, you know, it's just kind of a reminder that I don't really want to be watching TV after 10 o'clock at night. So I like that as that additional benefit.
Wow, that's great. And folks, we heard earlier that Claudia has like a $20 a month energy bill. So whatever you're doing, it's working really well.
Yeah.
Well, Claudia, thank you for your time. Really appreciate it. Talking about demand response with us, your personal life hacks, and the impact of time of use and the future of energy orchestration.